Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Welcome to our list of not-so-old things, Fred, for 2014. I can't wait. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. And you know, the pinnacle discovery of the last century, it's been great. I think the best argument for a young Earth, and it just refutes so much that the evolutionist taught us, and I want to skip it.
You want to skip it? Yeah, I want to skip it. What do you mean?
It's such old news. I mean, we've talked a lot about dinosaur soft tissue.
Oh,
You can Google it now, and you can see that this stuff isn't millions of years old.
Right.
So I say we probably just skip it.
We could skip that because our audience is expert
at it. And hey, if you don't believe it, you're new to the listening audience, go Google soft
dinosaur
tissue
soft
and
tissue.
See if you think dinosaurs are still millions of years old.
And you go right to our webpage. We're probably at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Cells, tissue, all that good stuff.
Okay. So the next thing on our list of not so old things is opals.
Opals.
Well,
okay.
It turns out that they don't need thousands of years. Fred, the textbooks have said tens of thousands, even 100,000 years to form an opal. You know, those pretty colored gems. Reds and greens and orange and all blues. Well, the world's leading authority on opals, one of the leading authorities, Alan Eckert, he wrote this. Scientific papers and textbooks have told that the process of opal formation requires tens of thousands of years, perhaps hundreds of thousands. Not true.
Not true.
So there's a peer-reviewed paper recently in a geology journal, and they said, you know what? Quote, the new timetable for opal formation involves weeks to a few months and not the hundreds of thousands of years envisioned by conventional weathering models. Fred, what's so fun about this is this guy in Australia, that's where we get most of the opals in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go to the beach where they collect opals and then sell them on the worldwide market. And he noticed no matter how many opals he got from this beach, there was still more. And he thought, what's going on here? So he gets some jelly jars and some peanut butter jars, and he fills them up with the wet sand, clay, muck, and he puts the dates on and puts them in a shed in his backyard, goes back, opens them up, and they're full of opals. It turns out microbes make opals. So, of course, whenever any secular scientist sees something, they say, well, that takes hundreds of thousands of years. They just have to make a stab against the Bible.
So when this happened, did the opal futures on the market just crash?
It should have. I don't know.
I don't know what they're worth, but you know, if you can make them in your backyard with a bunch of sand.
Yeah.
Speaking of sand, what about the Scablands?
Oh, yeah. The Scablands, this huge thousands of square miles in eastern Washington, even on a Nova TV program, they said, you know what? The Scablands formed primarily by a catastrophic breach of a natural ice dam. The Lake Missoula flood, and that's how they formed.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's rapid, like weeks.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what else is rapid is this Heartland Mountain that detached, and it slid 62 miles in 30 minutes. So in half the time it takes to watch the show 60 minutes, thing slid apart. And, you know, evolutionists, of course, they originally thought it was gradually over millions of years.
Yeah, right. Up in Wyoming, this mountain covers 425 square miles, and it slid apart in minutes. Not, you know, it didn't slowly move like with tectonic speeds or something.
That's right. It was in a biblical, not geological time frame.
Okay. So our list of not-so-old things, what's next?
Well, the next one is one of our favorites. It's this 150 million-year-old squid ink that's not decomposed.
Oh, yeah.
So that might challenge the first part I said about 150 million-year-old squid. They found ink. What's
inside,
up with the ink? Inside the squid.
Yes. It's desiccated. That happens to ink. It gets dried out, but it's still ink. So this ink, chemically, it is still identical to ink from a modern squid, from a living squid. And chemical things fall apart due to randomized molecular motion. By the way, Fred, as we go through this list, on our website, realscienceradio.com. We'll have a summary for each of these and links to the science press and the peer-reviewed journals.
Yeah, and they're not peer-reviewed journals from creationists, right? Almost all of them are going to be from the secular journals.
Yeah, so many of these go right back to the secular sources where they say, oops, we thought this process would take 100,000 years. Turns out it takes 6 weeks. Sorry. Over and over and over. Okay, so what's next on our list?
Well, speaking of ink, what about the ink sac in the supposedly 165-million-year-old cuttlefish?
Oh, yeah, that's another one, right? From National Geographic just a year ago, and they said, hey, this ink, so you got the squid ink and now the cuttlefish ink, strikingly similar to that of modern cuttlefish. And Fred, when they say strikingly similar, usually that means identical.
Yeah. Jaw-droppingly similar.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, so it's fun.
And, you know, this next one is, of course, genetics is always one of my favorite topics. Mm. And we know that the scientists have claimed, they've stated that most human mutations arose in 200 generations.
200.
Now, if you talk to a population geneticist, he'll tell you that the average generation is 20 to 25 years. You get 20 or 25, depending on who you talk to. So what's 20 times 200?
4,000. That is fun. And so, yeah, I mean, it should be hundreds of thousands of years for them, right?
Yeah.
Because they think we came from apes. We evolved like a couple million years ago, a million years, Homo sapiens, but here in 200 generations. And that's what we creationists have been saying. There have been about 200 generations since creation. And so this is all really
so you know what weird
fun.
Thought just came into my mind? Wheel of Fortune. It's like the Wheel of Fortune for the creation evolution debate. The arrow keeps landing on 4,000. Yeah. It just keeps landing on 4,000
for the flood.
Yeah,
4,000 for the flood. Less than 10,000.
Genetic bottleneck.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
They can't get it to land on anything else.
Okay, next one is this school of jellyfish that was fossilized.
That's right. And I know this has been always one of your favorites.
I love this because this is in seven layers of rock in Wisconsin. And they say, geologists had said, well, those seven layers were deposited over a period of a million years.
So seven different layers of jellyfish in them. And so did they all just pick a certain time in a million years to, because these are seven different layers,
seven
right?
layers with one school of jellyfish fossilized between the layers.
Yeah.
So, and jellyfish, it's extremely rare to get a jellyfish fossil because they don't have hard parts.
Yeah. So we've theorized that they had a family reunion every
100,000
years.
130,000 years.
Just to be, you know, kind of
come back
to the same
spot.
And then get buried alive there.
Right.
You know, it's a tradition. You know, come on. It's a family reunion. It's a tradition.
So anyway, that is a polystrate fossil. The school of jellyfish is one fossil when you think of it in a cumulative way, in an aggregate. And so it goes through seven layers that did not take a million years to form. They formed rapidly while the same school was hanging out.
That's right.
That's cool.
Well, this next one I know you've got intimate knowledge of, and that's the Yellowstone petrified tree strata. You know, remember the sign that they had? And I know that you know the park ranger.
Right. We worked to get that sign taken down.
Yep.
And Yellowstone eventually did take the sign down because it was wrong, and they knew it was wrong for the whole time. Fred, the petrified trees in Yellowstone, they grow like, you know, roughly on this huge hillside, and there's like 20 strata, 20 layers. And they have these trees in them. And they said, well, it took millions of years. Each layer represents a forest that had come into existence and then went extinct. And it left a few trees that petrified. Well, none of the trees have root systems. So the trees didn't grow there. So the trees were knocked down in a catastrophe, were floating and sunk as those layers were being deposited, and all those layers were deposited while these trees were sinking.
Yeah.
So it happened
rapidly. It's
amazing.
Some evolution is still clinging to this, while a lot of others have admitted that these things were buried in some, what they call a local water catastrophe. They don't want to admit to global flood. Right. So the next one is, I like this one, Asiatic versus European honeybees. So Bob, if they were to separate two human groups apart for a million years, would they be able to talk with each other after a million years?
No.
You think of how our language is deteriorating.
I can't hardly understand somebody from Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Try to read an original King James Bible.
It's tough, right? That's only 1611. It's just over 400 years ago. So imagine a million years.
A million years.
But then imagine you don't have books and writing because you're bumblebees. And so these honeybees from Asia and then European, they said they were separated for 7 million years. So there's no way they could communicate. So researchers said, well, let's see what happens. They put them together and they communicated just fine. Thank you. So they were not separated for 7 million.
Yeah, another shocking revelation to them, but, you know, no surprise to us.
Yeah, right. Then you have the Nautiloids. Remember the Nautiloids?
Yeah.
.com.
So the Nautiloids, and there's a whole big slew of them buried just across the swath of the United States.
Well, yes. And in the Grand Canyon, the Red Wall Limestone has millions of Nautiloid fossils. They're like an ice cream cone with a squid on the top.
That's a good description.
Right? Yeah. Instead of a double scoop, you got a squid.
You can go to the webpage, the List of Not So Old Things, and see an actual picture.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, it could be like about the size of your forearm or smaller, but that's a typical size. And there's one Nautiloid fossil per square meter through the Grand Canyon.
Per square meter.
Yes.
Cool.
And they go through the Red Wall Limestone. They're not just at the edges of the canyon. They're in that whole part of the country.
Yep.
So it turns out there are millions of these things. And limestone, remember how they say it is deposited in a shallow, placid sea, one grain at a time, so slowly. So if you have a limestone layer that's 6 feet deep, you know, it took 100,000 years or millions of years to form. Only why are there millions of Nautiloid fossils? And 15% of them were killed and then fossilized standing upright.
On their heads. So they're more impressive than those jellyfish. They actually go on the family reunion and then stand on their heads and they get and then they meet their doom.
So these Nautiloid fossils disprove the entire evolutionary claim of how limestone forms. Just these Nautiloid, even if there was only one, Fred. But there are millions of them.
So the next one is millions of years, 2 million year old leaves. Leaves, they found leaves.
And this is up in the Arctic Circle. These earth scientists from Ohio State and the University of Minnesota. I remember when the story came out, Fred, we reported on it. And it was so funny because they were moving these 2 million year old rocks. And they said, we started pulling leaves out of the soil. And it was surreal because they look just like modern
like leaves. They were
leaves.
Dry and crumbly, and the wood still burned.
And you could see them. We got a picture of them.
Yeah,
the wood burns. They're not million-year-old leaves.
Yep.
Then we've got gold precipitating in less than a second. This is a huge report out of the journal Nature Geoscience, and they say that each layer of gold deposit in a vein in the crust of the earth can occur within a few tenths of a second. And because they're figuring out the mechanism of how gold precipitates out of solution, and this happens quickly, not slowly, and that is the theme over and over and over. What everybody was told would take millions of years, turns out it takes a tenth of a second, 3 weeks, 6 months, 30 minutes. It's just hysterical.
Well, this next one I like, it's this island that formed back in 1963. I mean, that's new beachfront property. You know, if you invest in that thing before, hey, you know, there's an island going to pull up out of the water. I'm going to invest in that because I'll have beachfront property. Well, New Science reported that geographers marvel that canyons, gullies, and other land features that typically take tens of thousands or millions of years to form were created in less than a decade. That's them saying that. And because
that's
hey,
new scientists.
Because you know what? It happened right in front of our eyes, and so they can't claim that thing took millions of years. They would have claimed that if we hadn't seen the
island. Right. And what a beautiful photo, huh? Of the island.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And the vegetation and the life on it.
You see some birds in there.
So Iceland's official geologist, just months after this island of Surtsey formed, he said, everything we've learned about how long all this takes to form is wrong.
How many times do we hear that kind of comment?
It happens in weeks and months, not a million years. It's fun. Okay, then in Idaho, there's the Box Canyon, and it turns out it didn't form slowly over millions of years, but it was carved by a catastrophic flood. It's so fun to see this in the journal Science. These are evolutionary journals. And so yet another icon of old ages has been smashed. Fred, we're iconoclasts.
Yeah.
We're smashing the icons. That's
right. Well, talking about things that they said grew really slow were manganese nodules.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, these are said to be the slowest growing minerals on Earth. Wikipedia says, in fact, that nodule growth is one of the slowest of all geological phenomena in the order of a centimeter over several million years.
Just a centimeter over several million years.
That's really slow.
That is slow. And you know what would happen a couple million years ago? Do you remember?
No.
Well, Neville Chamberlain. Is that a clue? What else? Hitler. World War II. Wasn't that 2 million years ago? Because they found one of these things on a World War II ship.
So if we're
to use their logic,
yeah,
you know, World War II happened 2 million years ago.
Right. Growing on World War II ships. And in a documentary by the World Almanac called The Universe Beneath the Sea, a marine geologist, Dr. John Yates, said, in fact, we found them growing around beer cans. So a million years for a centimeter?
Yeah.
Come on, Wikipedia. Yeah. So yet another not so old thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the next one is one of our favorites, mitochondrial Eve, that
yes.
When they originally did the data on this, it said that, you know, they claimed that she was like 200,000 years old.
Yeah.
So
the first woman that we've all descended from.
They did an analysis, and it was based on really not a lot of data, and they got a number of 200,000 years. But they did something.
They did a more careful analysis, and they said, let's forget the chimpanzee data, because initially they mixed that in, because they say, you know, we humans are chimps. Chimps.
Yeah.
They even think we're still fish. Just check out Ray Comfort's video. PZ Myers is a lunatic.
Yeah.
But anyway, they think we're apes, right?
Yep.
So they included chimp DNA in their estimate of how old Eve was, the first woman we've all evolved from. Well, then they said, well, let's just look at human mitochondrial DNA. And they said, and this was in the journal Science, they said that, and here's a quote, mitochondrial Eve would be a mere 6,000 years
old. Ding, 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 ding. Well, there's that arrow getting close to, you know.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune arrow. They hate that show.
Yeah.
So the next one is even younger Y chromosomal Adam.
Oh, yeah. Even younger. Now, this is based on their original claim that Eve was 200,000 years ago.
Yep.
And then the man that we've all descended from, they call him Y chromosomal Adam. They said, well, he's even younger than Eve. That freaked them out. And Fred, that fits in the biblical model because there was a global flood. And while there were four mitochondrial DNA sets on the ark, there was really only one Y chromosome.
That's right.
Because Noah passed his on
to his sons.
To his sons. You only get your Y from your father, like you get your mitochondrial DNA from your mother. That's why those two things are really good to use to try to understand the past genetically.
Yep.
So, all right, that was fun. And then we've got the whole genome history that contradicts the alleged tree of life. This is really fun. We've done this recently, our list of genomes that just don't fit. And Fred, I think we could just mention it in passing. Because you got the human genome smack dab in the middle of the kangaroo genome, and you've got
worms and sponges, which are 70% human. You know.
And it's the all
list goes,
so,
it's a huge long list,
and it's so funny.
It is,
and it's completely contradicts the predictions of the evolution model.
That's right.
And neo-Darwinism just demolishes it. That's why increasingly leading evolutionists are saying that the tree of life has been chopped down.
Chopped down. Yep.
Because DNA utterly contradicts their previous claims about fossils and what evolved into what.
Yep.
So it's all a mess.
It is. Now, Bob, I met you many years ago. I can't remember when, but when I did meet you, you were in a debate with old Earth creationists.
Yes, from Hugh Ross's
group.
Reason to Believe.
And one of the arguments you brought up were spiral galaxies, the arms on these galaxies. And as you look farther out into the universe, over time, those galaxies,
Newton's
laws, they should deform because those arms should wind up like a clock screw. So you brought up that argument. I was shocked because normally they have a just-so story. They didn't even respond to that particular argument.
Yeah, it was a geophysicist and a mathematician, Professor CU in Boulder. It was a great debate, downtown Denver.
We sell it. They don't.
We do sell our Age of the Earth debate. You could get it. You could even download it at our store, realscienceradio.com. just click on the store. It helps support our program, keep us on the air, and it's a fun debate. And so we mentioned these spiral galaxies. There's billions of years missing because these things, they can't be billions of years old, and they're galaxies.
Yeah.
And they would deform in only a few million years. They'd be all deformed, broken up. So that's another fun one. Then there are transient solar system events, things like in Saturn's rings.
So pristine looking.
Yes, and the changes have been so dramatic since we've been taking up-close photos, mm-hmm. and that shocked the old Earth evolutionists because they thought these things would be stable over hundreds of millions of years, and they're dramatic changes.
That's right.
And also on the moon's surface, amazing changes. Comets, you know, are short-lived, and so many transient features, not only, Fred, in the solar system, but then there's transient galactic events because, for example, one of the brightest objects in the gamma ray sky are quasars.
Mm-hmm.
In this one quasar, we watched its extreme variability from 1987 for just the next 4 years, and then it faded from view. It's gone.
It's gone.
So only 4 years, and we just happen to see it? So it's fun. This stuff is all new. It hasn't been around for billions of years.
Well, you know, stars explode, and they create a remnant. They call it a supernova remnant.
Oh, yeah.
And so we can, you know, analyze those and get an idea of how old these things are, right? There's different stages.
Because the remnant is expanding,
and you can draw a circle around a stage, say that's a stage one. The farther out you go would be like a stage three would be really old. Do we see stage three supernova remnants?
Well, I have the number here of how many we've seen. They have a handful of stage one. Stage three, zero.
Zero.
Zero's a number, right? Didn't the Arabs first add a zero to the number line? Good for them. Fred, none.
That's right.
No, and they've been looking for decades. No stage three supernova remnants.
So the universe is not that old. It's young.
Not that old. It belongs on the not so old list. The whole universe. Then there's the missing shadow of the Big Bang. It said, you know, the Big Bang 14.3 billion years ago, whatever. And the shadow of the Big Bang, we should be able to see a shadow behind the closest galaxies. So they looked for it. And there's a missing shadow. It'd be if, like, you and I were standing in the parking lot and the sun was up, and you cast
a shadow on you and not on me.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, what's with that?
Yeah.
What's with that? So that's another bit of evidence.
So here's one. And, you know, we've talked to Dr. Humphreys before, Dr. Russell Humphreys,
mm-hmm.
and he's real big on Earth's magnetic field. He's done great work in this area. So what's up with that?
Well, turns out that Earth's magnetic field is decaying unbelievably rapidly. And in fact, I've got a quote. You're right. Russell Humphreys is a physicist with Sandia National Labs, and he's a young earth creationist.
That's right.
Well, I've got a quote here from a University of Maryland geophysicist, Daniel Lathrop, and he sums it up real nicely. He says, over the last 150 years, the Earth's magnetic field has declined in strength about 10%. And continues to decline in strength, as is evident every time people go and make new measurements.
Yeah, and so they've been measuring this for 150 years, and it's showing a 10% decline. That's amazing.
That is.
Now, how could this be possibly millions of years
million,
old?
Over billions of years, right. So this is yet another example that fits in a young Earth paradigm.
Absolutely.
It is contradictory to the old Earth claims. Okay, then we have also polystrate fossils, just like the jellyfish, right? The whole school. Well, how about trees, like in Nova Scotia, sticking up through many layers, geologic layers, like in the fossil cliffs of Joggins? And so many neat examples of polystrate fossils. Then, Fred, there's carbon-14 everywhere. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot. So it makes no sense for carbon-14 to be around because it decays into nitrogen after about 5,500 years. Half of it's gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go look that up. That's a great one. We've spent a ton of time on it. So.
Just Google carbon-14 and dinosaurs.
There you go.
And you'll find us at the top of the list.
Carbon-14 and diamonds. I bet you'll be pretty close too.
Well, yeah. Okay, and then we got helium is found everywhere. It's not supposed to be.
And that's the slippery noble gas. It should slip right out of what it's in. Yet they're finding it in things they shouldn't find it in.
Like zircon crystals that are supposed to be a billion years old.
Yep.
You know how you have a birthday balloon and the helium gas gets out?
Yeah.
Well, it gets out of crystals, too.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
They're so tiny.
It makes you talk funny.
Yeah, right. And so you got allegedly billion-year-old zircon crystals that are still filled with helium. And so that's evidence that they're not old.
It can't be. Why is the helium still in
it
there?
It could only helium be thousands of years
it's
old.
It's something that slips out of a rock. It can't get into it. So what's it still doing in the zircon crystal?
So, Fred, we're almost out of time. Our other topics are wet sand hardens into stone in hours. Algae is turned into petroleum in less than 1 hour. That's a study by the U.S. Department of Energy.
Yep.
Fossils with protein, DNA, bacteria, 100 million years missing smack dab in the middle of the layers of the Grand Canyon, the strata. They're like, well, golly, what happened to all that strata? should be right there, but it's not because the whole story is not true. Carlsbad Cavern, Death Valley Volcano, a not-so-old tooth. Fred, this Neanderthal tooth, they said it was tens of thousands of years old. Now they say no more than 5,000 years old, and that's the evolutionist.
Yep.
I love it. And so there's a few other examples, lizards and on, but what a fun topic, Fred. Our list of not-so-old things, another year.
That's right, another year, and we'll just keep adding to the list. The list keeps growing. It's a challenge to get through the list, and so we kind of rush through it. But, hey, go to the website. What's the URL for them?
Well, just rsr.org/list.
Slash list. That's easy. rsr.org/list.
Yep.
Or you can go to the website, rsr.org, and do a search if you forget.
Yeah.
Just have the website on your browser,
and if you Google,
find it.
If you Google not-so-old things, guess who will be at the very top?
You're real good at that, Bob. That's great.
Well, our shows get fabulous Google rankings, Fred, because so many people are linking to them, and when they search, they're clicking on our site, which the underlying site is kgov.com. That's where we do Bob and Yurt Live the other 4 days of the week.
And you've also got youngearth.com too.
Yes, we have youngearth.com. Yeah. And yeah, hosted by Bob Enyart, Fred Williams.
That's right.
And when people Google Young Earth, we've gone right toward the top of the list. We're number two, only beat out by Wikipedia.
And it's a real nice list. It summarizes things really well. And like you said, it provides all the references to the secular journals.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Fred Williams. Another fun show, realscienceradio.com. If you click on the store and buy science materials from us, you will help us stay on the air. We do not have a foundation behind us. We don't have a mega church. It's me, Fred, you, and the Lord. That's it. And we really need your help to stay on the air. You can even make a donation, or what's best is to sign up for an automatic monthly donation. May God bless you. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.